What's up? Got a little faith? And holy Moses, do I have a show for you today. You are listening to the fourth episode of the second season of the Fagnostic Podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Hayes. I have a Moses expert on to talk about his incredibly thought-provoking book, Moses and the Death of Heresy. So buckle up, buttercups, and get ready to open your mind to the possibility that maybe Moses wasn't all he's cracked up to be. I am your new biggest fan. Thank you for being here. So we're just going to jump right in. This book fucks with everything that the Bible purports to be, whether it be the Christian Bible or the Hebrew Bible, or really even the Quran. I don't even know where to start with this. I gave a crazy review on social media today about this book because I could not put it down. How much did this book, in writing it, do for your own religious trauma healing?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, when I left the church, it was the first moment in my life where I experienced depression. It was like somebody had ripped the roof off of my house and a storm was coming. And yep. I just didn't know what to do. I just sat there and just got soaked with sadness and frustration and anger and all the experiences of displeasure that get layered into that muck of depression. And what I love about the church, and even looking back, what I think was so beautiful to me is the church helped rescue me from adolescent experiences of isolation. But what it introduced to me was a layer of self-hatred for my own flaws that became so intense. And the more that I expressed my remorse about my own failures to act in the ways that the community wanted me to, the more I was rewarded for that. Like, it was a sign of being a serious Christian, the more that you felt bad about your own natural impulses.
Yep.
When it comes to the book, I mean, the first part of this came just from that contrast of looking at the movies of Moses, which are like an intense codification visually of all the legends that people have told about Moses. And they just took it and ran with it and made at least three full-length feature films about it, and Moses just kept getting better and better over time.
And then at the end of the chapter called The Hero We Need, which is in the first part of the book still, the end of the chapter, I have it circled, but it's perhaps the silence of the Torah regarding Moses' formative years is an unintended gift to humanity. Because so few details are known about the first decades of Moses' life, it is easier to shape him into whatever mold most serves our needs. Thus, each retelling of Moses' history since the Bible likely tells us more about the author than it does about Moses himself, which I also found interesting because it seems that they used that void of information to create this story about Moses in order to elevate him to savior status, to justify why his view of religion should be the only one that is honored. I mean, there's just so many clues that are in the actual Bible. This is not stuff that you're just pulling out of your ass. This is looking at verses that we ignore and then fitting and then reading them in context and sequence and saying, but wait, how do we get this belief system based when these verses are saying something completely different and a little more problematic? And what he says was, you're all wrong. You have to follow my rules. And those who don't, you're going to be punished. And this is the first instance of heresy.
Heresy is a word that means doing something different than the authorities say is correct. And that could be intentional. It could be rebellious. But it's just a word that's about difference or deviation. If there's no punishment for acting differently, then heresy is meaningless. It just means diversity. How do we get to the point where people treat religion as a matter of life and death? And that requires a reexamination of Moses. When Moses debuts the Ten Commandments, for the first time that we know of in recorded human history, there's the possibility of a death sentence for making a mistake that is exclusively religious in nature. The best we can do from the text themselves and how they make sense of their own history is that Moses learns a new name for the same God, the God of Israel, or the God of Abraham in particular. As Abraham's descendants migrate down into the Arabian Peninsula, somehow they start using a different name. It's hard in English. You and I are both native English speakers. And in the English Bible, we don't see the names of God. We only see pronouns. We see Lord, usually in all capital letters, but that means Yahweh. It's a different word in Hebrew than the English word God that we translate is usually El. The people who wrote this version of the story, this was the story they wanted to tell. And it was a story about their version of religion replacing a pre-existing Israelite religious practice. It was two religions came head to head and they said, ours is the superior one. And so we have this moment at Mount Sinai that I think is one of the most important moments in the religious history of the planet, where he decides to punish the people for having broken the second commandment. Moses assembled a religious army. Moses says, come to me, everyone who is on Yahweh's side. Strap your sword to your side and go from one end of the encampment to the other, and each of you kill your brother and your friend and your neighbor. So according to the story, again, we don't know if these numbers are real or if they were inflated or changed. But what the text says is that they stabbed to death or beheaded 3,000 of their own people. And their only error that they had made was that they participated in religion differently than Moses told them to. Yes. And we have no record of anything like that before in all of human history. This idea that somebody should lose their life for practicing religion differently than the authorities say has its debut moment at Mount Sinai. And Moses is treating this as a self-congratulatory moment,
yep,
where he's confirming this is the exact version of society that I want and that I am putting into place. And as I trace through in chapters 6 and 7 of the book, the Israelites tried to resist him. They didn't just sit there passively. They mobilized a resistance movement that then was put down even more violently. And it says within the first 2 years of Moses' leadership of the Israelites, 18,000 of his own people were exterminated so as to satisfy the demands of his religious rules. And this is the framework that Christianity is built on.
Yep.
This is the framework that Islam is built on, that if you fuck up, even in the smallest way as a religious person, you are doomed to death here and now, or in the afterlife, you might be tortured eternally.
I also do want to reiterate, your goal in writing this book is to get us back to a place of freedom and to not religious extremism, but you put it in the very last line of the book so beautifully, the time has come to be free. When we honor each other as equals before our creator, then heresy ceases to exist. And when heresy dies, we can all know the freedom to live.
The idea that people had to be separated into a good afterlife and a bad afterlife is rooted in this idea that somebody should be punished for expressing their religious impulses differently than someone else.
Yep.
And so I trace that back, and it all goes back to Moses. And if we just step back and acknowledge that maybe we don't want to participate in that system of power and severity and punitive religion, because I don't want anyone to be punished if they pray and use a word that I don't like.
Yep.
I want people to understand that religious diversity always existed.
Yeah.
And before Moses, there was no penalty. Life is diverse. Life is all over the planet. We've existed for tens of thousands of years. We have temples that have been uncovered in Turkey that are at least 11,000 years old of people celebrating divinity and our relationship to the cosmos in ways that are beautiful and not bounded by rules that have punishments. And I think that we can participate in traditions that are more biblically authentic, going all the way back to Abraham. Like, I want to attach my legacy and my sense of ancestry to Abraham.
But if Moses had never established this practice of weaponizing belief systems, would we be where we are today in the world? I don't think so.
I have a hope for and a vision for the future that people can just let go of this.
Yeah.
That the allegiance to religious punishment, whether it's in the here and now, or whether people attach that punishment to the afterlife of heaven and hell, which is a much later invention that also, like Moses's religious death penalty started, and before that they didn't exist. The idea of punishing people with hell has a beginning. And before that, the idea of hell didn't exist.
Right.
So these are tools that we've used to control one another, to shame one another, to deny the legitimacy of homosexual experience or homosexual relationships. That has its roots in this punitive religious idea that if you behave differently than the authorities, you're offending a deity.
Yep.
You're offending the creator of the universe. Muslims, Christians, and Jews, the creator God is the God of Abraham. It's not the God of Moses. You don't owe anything to Moses.
Yep.
If I divorce myself from a tradition that requires me to act punitively towards others, then I can celebrate with everyone on the planet who has a divine impulse.
I did. My first thought after reading this book was, I want to get to know the God of Abraham, because I think, unbeknownst to me, I've only been taught the God of Moses. Let's wrap up here. This has been, I cannot wait to go back and listen to this just to make sure I'm catching everything you're saying, because I feel like there's just so much. But what would you say to the divine were they standing before you today?
I would say, thank you for life. I don't know why it happened, but I'm grateful to have experienced it.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for you for being here to share your expertise, your grace, your knowledge, and this book. I cannot wait for people to find out about it and to gain access to it. Just so much appreciation for your time today. I cannot thank you enough. I'm glad you reached out. It really, this book has just done so much for my own religious healing and release of trauma. So thank you. I look forward to talking with you again, because I'm sure there is more we can discuss.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Take care.